The theme for camp this year has been about praising the Lord. And if you were here last Monday when I, well, last Tuesday when we first had a meeting together, I had mentioned that I thought of praise and our praising the Lord in two different fashions. One is what we do with our mouths, what we give to the Lord in ascribing to him the glory, do his name verbally. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks. And so we tried to spend a few days looking at, in the Old Testament, those Hebrew words that are translated praise. And we noted how we praise the Lord with our mouths in song, in worshiping or praising him. And we noted how we praise him with our body posture, also by our responding with lifted hands to receive or to offer, and bowing down before him is another form of praise and reverential awe of who he is, and these different ways that the Bible teaches us to offer praise. And I also thought of, and this week we'll concentrate more on, the way that we live. Our lives are to be to the praise and to the glory of his name. It's not only what comes out of our mouth that's praising the Lord, but we want to live a life of ceaseless praise, not only verbally, but in the way that we behave, the daily manner of living, our conversation, not only verbally, but the manner of life, the way that we carry ourselves all day long, praising our Savior all the day long. And our praise is continuous. We continually offer a sacrifice of praise. There are times when I do that with my mouth, but all the time, we do that by our demeanor, by the way that he lives out his life. We adorn the gospel. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to look at it through the perspective of John chapter 11. Now, I realize that maybe this, and not everything can be fit into John 11 as far as our lives being to the praise and glory of God. But I thought of at the beginning of the chapter where Jesus says, this sickness is not unto death, but it's so that the Son of Man, so that I may be glorified. So somehow or other, the story of Lazarus in John 11 is going to all redound to the glory of God. It's going to bring glory to his name. And it's not going to be so much what Lazarus says, it's more what experiences Lazarus has that bring him to the place where his life just speaks the glory of God and the praise of Jesus Christ. And I came on the thought, I guess it was when we were here at the Chinese retreat in June. I had the opportunity, although I don't speak much Chinese, I only know one word, it's hallelujah. Oh, I know two words. I know how to say bu in Chinese. That means no, yes. I know how to bu. And other than that, I get myself into trouble when I try to talk. I got myself into big trouble once in Taiwan. Big trouble. I won't tell you the story now, but I said something. I said it wrong. Everybody laughed. Everybody laughed a lot, and they had reason to laugh a lot. But anyway, you can ask me sometime. I'll tell you on the side. But we were having the meetings, and I had to say something, and I thought of the story in John 11, and we read it, and I mentioned some things about it, and then afterwards I got back to the room, and I thought, you know, that story can take us a whole week or longer. There's so much in that story, step by step through the story in John chapter 11, and it all is for the glory of God, and there are different aspects, and it really tells about our whole lives, our whole Christian life, our experience with God, from the beginning, the very beginning, to the end. And so I thought of it, and I think this week, if the Lord allows, we might look through that story. Now, if you have John 11 open, I'm going to skip over those first few verses where Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick and he delays and doesn't get there until Mary and Martha say it's too late, and he brings his disciples along with him, and we have some other words that Jesus said. And the Lord says to his disciples that he's going to go to Bethany where Lazarus was, and Jesus says, I'm going to wake him up. I'm going to wake him up out of his sleep. And the disciples say, Lord, if he's sleeping, I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing if he's asleep, but Jesus didn't mean that he was sleeping natural sleep, that he'd get better, just give him a good rest. But Jesus said, no, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. And Jesus could have gotten there on time, I'm sure. He could have gotten to Bethany and healed and raised Lazarus before he was dead, made him well. He didn't even really have to go. And we know that from the other parts of the Bible, he didn't even have to go. What did he just have to do? Send his word. Just send his word. Centurion said that to Jesus. Jesus, you don't have to go to my house to heal my servant. Just send your word and my servant will be better. And Jesus sent his word. And that servant was raised up and healed. So we do understand Jesus didn't have to go to Bethany, but he chose not to go. And Lazarus, in the meantime, died. You know, when you go back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, we read there that sin entered into the world because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Sin came into the world. Now, God could have prevented sin from coming into the world, but he didn't. I don't know why theologians debate it, scholars or people. There's no answer to the question as far as I can see it. Why didn't God? I don't know why God didn't. He gave people an opportunity to choose freely. He gave them a free will and they chose wrong. And somehow or other, everything went off the rails. But you read back there in Genesis chapter 2, God had said to Adam and to Eve, you can eat anything from any place in this garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will, what did he say? You will die. You will die. And Adam and Eve ate. She ate first. She gave it to her husband and he took a bite of the same thing. Was it an apple? That's what they tell me it was, but I don't find that in the Bible. I don't know what kind of fruit it was from that tree. I don't know what it was, but it was the wrong thing. It was disobedience to God. And when they ate the tree from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died. You say, well, they didn't die. I mean, we read about them afterwards. They got tossed out of the garden. They died. They died spiritually. And ever since Adam and Eve, and they were the first two people that ever lived, ever since Adam and Eve, everybody who has been born into this world was born dead in trespasses and sin. It's interesting to me that in the Bible, when Jesus talks about people that have died, he uses often the term they're sleeping. They're sleeping. Because Jesus has the ability, God has the ability to raise those that are dead. Now, I've got a lot of Bible verses written down here, and I don't know that we should or want to read them all, but it is in Romans chapter 5. I think it's in verse 12 where it says, sin came through one man. And through that one man, sin entered into the world. And because sin entered into the world, so death entered into the world. It was passed on to you, to me. We all started the same way that Lazarus was when Jesus got to Bethany. Lazarus is dead. It's my desire, Jesus said, to wake him up. I don't want the man to stay dead all his life. You and I, the Bible says, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, you can quote it if you know the rest of the verse, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, the first part of the verse says, and you hath he quickened. The word quickened means made alive. He's made you alive. You were once, and Paul is writing to the Christian community in Ephesus. You, he has quickened. You were once dead in your trespasses and in your sins. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a story of the prodigal son, who was with the Father, but then he had a better idea and he wandered away from the Father. And he got himself into all kinds of trouble, and he found himself in the pig pen eating the husks and feeding on the pig's pen's food. And finally he came to himself, the Bible says. And he got up and he said, I will arise and I'm going to go back to my father. Father saw him a ways off, opened his arms, embraced his son as he came home. And then you remember the words of the father. This my son was dead. He wasn't just wayward. He didn't just wander off. My son was dead. Now, he wasn't dead. He wasn't biologically dead. He needed to be wakened up again. He was dead in his trespass and in his sin. And so throughout the whole of Scripture, the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, wake up from the dead, you who sleep. Rise and shine. Christ wants to give you light. Jesus wants to awaken. He wants to wake those people that are sleeping up from their sleep. And that's his mission. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lost in what? Lost in their trespass and sin. I've come to wake them up. And you and I have been quickened. We've been woken up. We're not woke, but we're woken up. We've been raised up from the dead. We were once in darkness. We were once dead unto the call of God. But we heard that call somewhere in our lives. Now, there's a difference in the Bible. It's an interesting difference to me, at least, when the scriptures use the word perish. People who are dead can still be awakened and, like Lazarus, come back to life. Like you, like me. People who have perished, that's a different story altogether. Then it's over. In the Bible often, and I'd like you to turn with me, because the King James doesn't translate it all the time the way I think that the newer translations translate it. If you have a Bible and would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you have the 18th verse, if you'd read it.
For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Did you notice the tense that verse is couched in? The message of the cross is to those who are what?
Perishing.
Have they perished yet?
No.
But they're dead. Right? Yes. They're dead. They're dead and they're perishing, but they have not yet perished, because once you're perished, you can't wake up anymore. Once you're perished, it's over. If you're just dead, it's better than if you've perished. And the message of the cross, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are in the process of perishing, is foolishness. They're dead. They're not alive unto God. To those of us who are, notice again in the verse, the 10, those of us who are being saved, you and I are in that process. We are being saved by his life. That's back in Romans 5. You and I are being saved by that life. And if you have the Son, you have life. And if you continue to have that life flowing into you, you're a branch to the vine. And if you're not severed and cut away, you're going to bring forth fruit that will glorify him. The moment you're severed and cut off from the vine, you begin to wither and you begin to die. You need to be regrafted once again in so that you once again can have life. Once you have perished, it's over. Those who are perishing need to hear the message of the gospel so that they don't stay dead any longer, but they come back to life. If you can turn someone else, can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, 3.
If the good news we preach is hidden behind the veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing.
Okay. If the good news, the gospel, if the good news that we preach is veiled, it's hidden, it's being hid from people who are, again, they're in the process, they're perishing. They haven't yet perished, but they are perishing. They will one day completely be perished or be gone. Right now they're dead, but we have to get out there and wake them up. And the gospel of Jesus Christ brings life. The word of God to the dead brings life. If their ears hear that word of God, wake up, you sleepers, back into the words of the Apostle Paul. Wake up, you that are sleeping, you that are dead. Christ wants to give you life. And if you and I, if I hide the gospel, Jesus says, what do you do with the lampstand? You put it on, what do you do with the light? You put it on a lampstand so that everybody can see. There are those that are perishing. There's no light. They grope around in abject darkness. And you come and you are the light of the world. Christ in you, because he has given you life. He has taken you from death into life everlasting. He went and we follow him there. And we go out into the world, into the highways. No, we're not going to hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a, what, you know the song? Hide it under a bushel. No. Boo! We can all sing Chinese. Hide it under a bushel. Boo! I'm going to let it. Yes, let it shine wherever you are. Because if you hide the gospel, you're hiding it from those people who are in a process. They're perishing. I've got some fruit back in my room. Some of it's looking pretty sorry. It's been around here for a week now. And I know you can get fruit up there, but I have some blueberries. And so I took them out this morning. I put them in a little cup and this is how sorry they look. I was walking up the steps into the palace and somebody said to me, what do you have? You have pebbles? I should have said, no, these are my blueberries, but they're in the process of perishing. They haven't yet given up the ghost, but they're all well on their way. You've had fruit. You've had things like that. People are like that. Jesus Christ has come into the world and sent his only begotten Son that they don't have to perish, but they can have everlasting life. They don't have to stay dead. They can be awakened out of their death. Lazarus is dead. Yeah, he's dead, but I'm going there to glorify my name. And the way I'm going to do that, number one, is I'm going to wake the man up. He's not going to stay asleep any longer. Just one more. There are a few more in the Bible, but I think 2 Corinthians 2:15, you'll also find Paul saying the same thing, using that same word. Anybody have it? Read it.
We are unto God a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish.
Okay. I think it's in other translation. That what translation is that?
King James.
King James uses that word perished, and it's final. It's they're gone. Anybody have a different translation? What does it say in yours?
Perishing.
Okay. The newer translation, and I'm not finding fault with the King James. King James sometimes gets, that's the only, no, it's not the only translation. And maybe sometimes, and maybe in this case, a better understanding. Yes, we are the people of God are to a group where a sweet smell. They like the way you smell.
NIV says aroma.
Aroma. We're an aroma to people that we come in contact with, and people that are saved, it's a nice smell. It smells like fine perfume. You smell well, you smell good, but to some people you stink. And the people that don't like the way you smell, well, who knows, maybe everybody doesn't like the way you smell. I don't know how you smell. Never mind. But to those that are perishing, the gospel of Jesus Christ stinks. And that's if you were with us yesterday in the morning, that's why they hated Jesus. He didn't smell bad at all. The aroma that came out of that man's life was a beautiful aroma. And to you and I, it's such an attractive smell, and it draws us because we like the smell and we like the scent, and we would like to somehow or other get a little bit of that smell on us and bring the message of the gospel. But there are those, Paul says there, to those that are perishing. They don't like the way that you and I smell. But Jesus wants to wake people up from the dead. He wants to come into the venue where Lazarus was, and he does in the 11th chapter, back to John chapter 11. And I'll close with this. His desire is to glorify himself, his name, his Father. I want to glorify my Father. You know, the best way we can get off to starting to glorify the Father, the best thing we can do is not to give a cup of cold water in his name. It's not to help an old lady across the street. It's not to give a testimony in a meeting. The start to glorify God is to come out of death into life. And that's a miracle. It's a miracle transformation. And it's a transformation that you and I should be thankful for all the days of our life. Some of us have gotten up out of our grave years and years and years and years ago. But Peter says, hey, I want you to remember where you came from. I want you to remember what he brought you from and what he brought you to. I want you to remember that you were once dead in your trespass and in your sin. In time past, we all walked according to the course of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, came to Bethany one day. He came to New York City one day. He came to wherever you were and wherever you lived one day. Not because of works of righteousness that you did. You were dead in your trespass and sin. But you heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He called your name. Wake up. Wake up, you who are sleeping. Jesus wants to give you life. Spiritual life. Abundant life. And so you added to your bios, your biological life, you added a little bit of Brother Jason's daughter's name is Zoe. Life, spiritual life. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to add to our bios. Everybody here has bios. And I would pray and I would trust that every one of us here also has Zoe. And we're living our lives by Zoe, by the life of Jesus Christ. We're not living by our own strength, by our own effort, by our own ingenuity. How is it possible that you could begin in the spirit and somehow now think you're going to be made perfect in your flesh? It doesn't work that way, but it's life. We learn to live by him. In him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. And thank God he gives new life, abundant life every single day. I take out of his grace, out of his life. Against my need. Oh, we're alive unto God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and he's resurrected us from the dead. Because he lives, you too shall live also. And Jesus said to Mary and to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe that I'm able to raise the dead? Do you believe that I'm able to give resurrection life to those that are dead? Oh, as far as I'm concerned, they're not dead, stinking 4 days already, too late. Uh-uh. They may be stinking, but it's never too late because I can come and give life and that more abundantly. Oh, my son, he was dead, but he's not dead anymore. Let's make merry. He's now alive. And I'm thankful for what Jesus has done for us, but don't hide the gospel. Don't hide the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation. And if you veil it, if you cover it, you're hiding it from those who are perishing. God is not willing that any should perish. In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, whosoever will. And so, Lord Jesus, help us to let that light shine. Let me just close. I don't want to leave us on a dead note. And Lazarus in the grave. But Jesus said, where is he? Went out to where the tomb and sepulcher were. And you remember what Jesus did? He, with a loud voice, first he prayed, Father, I thank you that you hear me. You always hear me, Father. It's good for their sakes, Jesus had said already. It's good for your sake that I wasn't here when he died. I want you to understand, I want you to know that he can raise the dead. I want you to know that he has all power in heaven and on earth, and he could raise the dead. I don't care 4 days. I don't care decomposition said it. I don't care how bad the drug habit was and how many years it's been. I don't care that they worship Satan and go to Satan. I couldn't care less about it. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to awaken anybody. Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not willing that any perish. So we get out to where the sepulcher is, and then Jesus lifted his voice. And he called Lazarus by name. Well, he loved Lazarus. He knew who was in that tomb. But you know, he loves you. And he loves those that are in our heart. Those that are dead. He does love them. Maybe nobody else does because they stink. And who loves stink? And who wants to be around them? They're dead. But Jesus loves them. In that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Jesus knew his name, and he knows everybody's name that's out there. And he calls. He calls by name. And he yelled out Lazarus's name. Lazarus! Come forth! And oh, at the word of the Lord. The word of God is quick. It means living. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God spoke and the worlds were created. There's power in that name. Some have said if he didn't call Lazarus by name, the whole graveyard would have gotten up. Well, I wish he didn't call Lazarus then by name. I wish he just said, come forth, and I wish the whole graveyard got up. But it was Lazarus's day. It was his time, and he was called by name. I've told you perhaps before, I did that in church one time. I was talking about John 11, 25 years ago now. And a man in the church had brought his friend from work to the meeting. First time he had ever been in church. I didn't meet him at all. Didn't know who he was. He came to church that day, and we were reading John 11, and I got to the place where Jesus called Lazarus by name, and so I was yelling, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus, come forth! I didn't know the man's name was Lazarus. And he was as shocked as I was to later on learn that his name was Lazarus, and I don't know that he came forth that day. But at least it was interesting to him that we were reading about him that morning in the meeting. Maybe Jesus wanted to wake him up. Maybe Jesus wanted to give him an opportunity. And I'm thankful that he called. And the power in his voice, the power in his word, at our ordination, our brother Kenny Friedman and myself, and I guess Bowie too, brother Bowie Curry. When we were ordained, there was a lady from Virginia, Sister Clark, that sang a song that I could sing it, a chorus. I think she wrote it, and it simply said, there's power in the word. There's power in the word. There's power in the word of the Lord. When Paul spoke to Timothy, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. There's power in the word. You know, as we carry the good news of the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost souls that are all around us. It's not my word, it's not your word, but it's his word, and there's power. There's power because there's authority in the word of the Lord. And so Lazarus, in hearing the voice, lying there dead as a doornail, he got up. To be continued. God still wanted to yet be glorified in a greater way. There was still more that God wanted to do to show forth his glory so that Lazarus could be to the praise of Jesus Christ. And so there's more for you and for me. If you've been taken out of death into life, well, that's the start. That's the beginning. And how thankful we are that Jesus has saved us, freed us from sin that long has enslaved us. His precious blood he gave to redeem. And now I belong to him. Maybe we could sing that together in closing. It's in the hymn book, and it's something 87, maybe. 287, is it? I'm not sure. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me.
437.
Close. 437. Let's stand together as we sing. 437.
Hide this light under a bushel, Lord.
Amen.
But that we go out and we let the world around us see that there is hope.
Yes.
May they smell, Lord, that sweet aroma of who you are on us.
Amen.
Bless us as we go.
Yes.
Pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.